ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة دلالة، وكل دلالة في النار. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Inshallah, brothers and sisters, first of all, I would like to apologize for not showing up yesterday. Though it was the qadr of Allah, I tried my best to come, but as I mentioned to one sister that was coming in the door a couple of minutes ago, I was a fugitive from the motor vehicle department, so I'm happy to be here, alhamdulillah. Inshallah, I mean, someone can pass these out. Before we begin, I should say this is part of our beginning. We'd like to reiterate that these are the etiquettes of the class. I'm not going to, for sake of time, I'm not going to read them again, but for those people who want to know or have a small idea how we want to conduct these classes, there are two sheets for you. One is the etiquettes of the class. Please make sure the sisters get them too. And if you've already taken one, please don't take another one. Even if you lost it, don't take another one. And the definitions of technical terms. Today we'd like to discuss the meaning of La ilaha illallah. The meaning of La ilaha illallah. And if we have time, we'd like to also discuss the meaning of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. May the peace and blessings of Allah forever be upon him. As we mentioned in the first section of our class in Tawheed, that there are three types of Tawheed, and we won't go over them in detail, but just to mention those three types again, Tawheed al-Rabb, the Tawheed of Lordship, Tawheed al-Ilah, Tawheed of Godship, for lack of better words, and Tawheed Asma'i wa Sifat, or Tawheed Asma'i Allahi wa Sifat, the Tawheed of Allah's beautiful names, attributes, and characteristics. And we also mentioned in brief in the last class on Tawheed that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam did not come to bring Tawheed al-Rabb, because the people believed in the Creator. They believed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala existed. They knew that He was the Creator. As the verse we mentioned before, if you were to ask them who created the heavens and the earth, those pagan Arabs, O Muhammad, they would say, surely, most definitely Allah created the heavens and the earth. So He didn't bring this type of Tawheed. He didn't have to explain to the people that there was a Creator. So this word Allah was not foreign to them. We're trying to tie this in with the meaning of La ilaha illallah. The subject today, what is the meaning of La ilaha illallah? So He did not have to explain to them that there wasn't Allah. They used this word. They even used the word Ar-Rahman. Rahman. They used the word Rahman. They were familiar with these words, the pagan Arabs. But what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam had to bring was the meaning of La ilaha illallah. They didn't have this. They knew about Allah, they were familiar with the word, but they didn't have the deep understanding of La ilaha illallah. back this particular phrase, or as we call it, al-kalimatu tayyiba, in rough translation, the good word, al-kalimatu tayyiba. La ilaha illallah is what we call al-kalimatu tayyiba, the good word, so to speak. And this particular word, al-kalima, is, if you're not familiar with it, if I mispronounce it, probably you'll remember what it is. Some of us call it kalima, but that's a mispronunciation, kalima. We say kalima shahada, but it's kalima, not kalima, kalima. So al-kalimatu tayyiba, or the good word, is la ilaha illallah. This is what he came to bring the meaning of. The meaning, in brief, in a nutshell, of la ilaha illallah, in brief, means la ma'budun bihaqqin illallah. That there is nothing worthy of worship, nothing justified to be worshipped except Allah. This, in a nutshell, is the meaning of this. That nothing is justified to be worshipped. And we already discussed what is the meaning of worship. This is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. The meaning of La ilaha illallah, La ma'budun bihaqqin illallah. That there is nothing worthy of worship as a deity except Allah. To translate La ilaha illallah, there is no God but Allah, is a big, serious mistake. It's a serious mistake. Serious. And I keep reiterating, serious. It's not a small mistake. It's a serious mistake to translate there is no God but Allah. La ilaha illallah, there is no God but Allah. Why? Because there are gods besides Allah. But none of them have the justification. None of them are worthy of being worshipped except Allah. That's the meaning of La ilaha illallah. In brief, because there are gods. Cars, sex, drugs, alcohol, money, power, egoism, all these are gods. There are things that people deem as a god and put them with or above Allah, but they're not worthy of worship. But they're gods. They are ilah, which is the singular word for God, so to speak. And some people say, and it has some merit, that the word Allahu is two words together. The definite article, Aleph Lam, Al, and Ilah, the God. So they say it's the God. Al and Ilah. Allah. So this Ilah, or this small God, this object that people are making Allah, or giving their worship, no matter what type of worship, once again, as we mentioned in the class before on Tawheed last week, that we define what is worship. So we don't have to go through that again. For those who weren't here, you get it from the people who are here. But people take these things, whether it be their intelligence, some people worship intelligence. Some people worship logic. Some people worship rationale, not just tangible things, anything that is given any type of worship, whether it be man, whether it be animal, whether it be jinn, whether it be angel, anything of the creation, intangible or tangible. Anything that is given any type of worship is an ilah. I-L-A-A-H, ilah. But none of these ilahs, to use English, the English S on the Arabic word, ilahs, are worthy of worship except Allahu. And this is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. In this particular statement, this good word, al-kalimatu tayyiba, is divided into two. The first part is a negation, and the second part is an affirmation. The first part,
La ilaha.
This is negation. There is no deity. Affirmation, Illallahu. Except Allah. Alright? The first part is a negation, which is strange. It was strange to the people of the past, and it's strange to people who are here today. Because normally, you come with an affirmation first, and then a negation. But no. This kalimatul tayyiba, there is nothing worthy of worship. In other words, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying, all these things that you worship, forget them, throw them away, destroy them, whatever it may be. None of these things mean anything, illallah. So it's a negation first, and then an affirmation. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. This is found in Surah Muhammad. Know for a surety that there is nothing worthy of worship, nothing justified to be worshipped except Allah. Once again, there are other gods. There are other gods, but none of them are worthy of worship except Allah. The meaning of the first word in this verse in Surah Muhammad, when Allah says, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا know for surety. This knowledge, this word know or knowledge, this is obligatory on every human being. Not on Muslims. This is obligatory. This is general. When Allah says, فَعْلَمْ know for surety, He's not talking to just Muslims. He's talking to every human being and every jinn, every angel, everything that exists. Know for surety that He, there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. That it is He, there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. And this means that it is obligatory. As we mentioned before in one of the classes, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, explains the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He took His hand and He wiped over the back of Adam after He created Adam, and from the back of Adam came all the nesamah, all the souls that would exist to the last day. And when they came out of the back of Adam, He asked them, who is your Lord? Do you not bear witness that I am your Lord and I am one? They said, we bear witness. So this contract was sealed before we even came into this existence. Because when all the souls came out of the back of Adam, Allah asked all of the souls, every single one, do you not bear witness that I am Allah? And all of the souls said, shahidna. We all bear witness. So this contract has been violated by human beings. Those people who do not accept Tawheed in its entirety, they are violating the very contract that they made with Allah when He created Adam. And that's why Allah says, know for surety, all of you, there is nothing worthy of worship that He, there is nothing worthy of worship as a deity except Allah. So it's obligatory that we know this, every human being. And that's why da'wah is so important. We have to bring these people back to fulfill their contract. As Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu awfu bil'uqood. O you who believe, fulfill your contracts. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gave us this kalimatul tayyiba as a statement that we hope and we pray will be the very last thing that comes out of our mouths. La ilaha illallah. Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, Man qala la ilaha illallahu dakhala al-jannah. This hadith is authentic, found in Bukhari and Muslim. Whoever says la ilaha illallah, they will enter paradise. So we should be very, very zealous in saying this statement. This is one of the highest statements that anyone can say. Probably, in fact, it is the highest statement that anyone can say. La ilaha illallah. I remember hearing a story when I was studying in Medina, in Arabia, of two young men, Saudi citizens, driving in a sports car, and listening to a Michael Jackson tape inside the car. This is true. This is one of the sheikhs was giving this lecture. And unfortunately, they had a fatal accident. And when the people were trying to remove them from the car, of course, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, prompt your dying ones to say La ilaha illallah. When they die, prompt them to say La ilaha illallah. Get them to say it. Whether they're Muslims or non-Muslims. Whether they're Muslims or non-Muslims. Get them to say your grandmother, your grandfather, your uncles, your aunts, your nephews and nieces. Get them to say La ilaha illallah. And they went into paradise, inshallah. So they were trying to prompt these two youths to say La ilaha illallah. And the only thing one of them could say was he continued to repeat this Michael Jackson song. And he died like that. Because he was singing it as he was in the car, this Michael Jackson song. And they could not get him to say La ilaha illallah. He died singing a Michael Jackson song. Muslim, born Muslim. So we should try to keep our lips moist with saying La ilaha illallah as much as we can. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said in a hadith that is sahih, it is authentic, collected by Imam Ahmed in his Musnad, the Musnad of Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal. He says, من قال لا إله إلا الله مخلصا دخل الجنة. And whoever says لا إله إلا الله sincerely, in their hearts, sincerely, they will enter paradise. And one great tabi'i, companion of a companion of the Prophet, whose name was Wahb ibn Munabbah or Munabbih, when he was asked, he said, someone asked him, is not the key to paradise? هل المفتاح الجنة لا إله إلا الله? Is not the key to paradise the statement لا إله إلا الله? And he said, yes. He said, but for every key, there are teeth. Whoever comes with the teeth will enter paradise. Whoever does not come with the teeth, the doors of paradise will not be open. This is very important. Every key has teeth. But whoever does not come with the teeth for the key, the doors of paradise will not be open. Even though they said La ilaha illallah. That needs to be understood. That needs to be understood along with this hadith. Whoever says La ilaha illallah will enter Jannah. And that is the key to Jannah, to paradise. But your key has to have those teeth. And those teeth are all the other things that go along with La ilaha illallah. So the person that is called Mukhlisun in this hadith, whoever says La ilaha illallah Mukhlisun will enter paradise sincerely. This Mukhlis, Al-Mukhlis, it means those are the people who understand this statement. They understand this statement. And those people who work by this statement, they apply this statement, La ilaha illallah, the meaning of it. Not just walking around saying La ilaha illallah and they drink alcohol. Not just walking around saying La ilaha illallah and they play lotto. Not just walking around saying La ilaha illallah, but they rob and steal. No. Those are the ones who understand it and they apply it, the meaning of it. Also, the person who's sincere, mentioned in this hadith, are the ones who make da'wah, who call to La ilaha illallah. Those who make da'wah in calling people to La ilaha illallah. And by calling to it, it means calling to nothing else but that first. In other words, when we give da'wah to people, we shouldn't be giving them the science of Quran or why we don't eat pork or why Muslim sisters dress the way they dress. No, we should be giving them La ilaha illallah. What is the meaning of La ilaha illallah? And nothing else before that. Because this is the reason, as we mentioned before, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created human beings. This is the reason why He created us and the jinn. And as we know, as As a special note, that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, he had an uncle named Abu Talib who helped Islam. In fact, Abu Talib, a non-Muslim, kafir, helped Islam in some respects more than some Muslims living today. He helped Islam more than some Muslims living today, a kafir. And when death came to him, his nephew said, Ya Ami, Ya Ammi, Ya Ammi, oh my dear uncle, قل, say, La ilaha illallah, kalimatun, uhaju laka biha indallah. Say La ilaha illallah, a statement, a kalima, a word, a phrase, that I argue with you, and with Allah. I argue with this statement with Allah. I impress on you. I encourage you. Say the statement, O uncle. And the hadith says, وَأَبَى أَن يَقُولَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And he refused to say, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And this is found in Bukhari and Muslim. And the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, despite all of the good that Abu Talib did for Islam, protecting his nephew from the Quraysh, doing all these things of good, said that he entered to the fire. That his uncle entered into the fire. And that his punishment was the punishment of the boiling shoes or sandals. Some narration says shoelaces. That his shoes boiled, burned until it burned all the way up to his brains. And that this punishment was deemed, will be deemed by those who receive this punishment, may Allah keep us away from it, is the lightest punishment in the hellfire. The lightest punishment in hellfire. And those people who will receive it, may Allah keep it away from us. As we mentioned on the etiquettes, if we hear something that has to do with the hellfire or any punishment, we should ask Allah. This is part of the etiquettes of the class, to keep us away from it. Those people who are receiving this punishment think it is the highest, it is the worst, the most grievous of punishments, and it will be the least. And he was a helper of Islam. He was a helper of Islam. The Prophet, Al-Rasul, the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he remained in Mecca teaching Tawheed and the meaning of La ilaha illallah for 13 years, calling the Arabs to it, telling them, inciting them to say, La ilaha illallah. And all they would say is that there is one God, but we take these idols as intercessors or means or daughters of Allah, trying to get close to Allah. We don't worship them, they said. We believe in Allah, but we use these idols to get closer to Allah. And this proves, in a small sense, that the Arabs understood the meaning of Allah. They knew who Allah was. They knew that Allah was greater, that he was Akbar. But it was the way they worshipped him, which was the problem. So Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says to them, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَيَقُولُونَ إِنَّا لَتَارِكُوا آلِهَتِنَا لِشَاعِرٍ مَجْنُونَ بَلْ جَاءَ بِالْحَقِّ وَصَدَّقَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Allah says, and they said, shall we forsake our gods for a mad poet? They called the prophet a sha'ir and majnun. They didn't just call him a sha'ir, a poet. They called him a sha'ir majnun, a crazed poet. Because they had poets in those days. And Allah continues by saying, no. But he brought the truth and he confirmed those sent before him. He wasn't a mad poet. بَلْ جَاءَ بِالْحَقِّ وَصَدَّقَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. He came with the truth of those who were sent before him. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith that is sahih, collected by Muslim,
من قال لا إله إلا الله وكفر بما يعبد من دون الله حرم ماله ودمه. Whoever says لا إله إلا الله and disbelieves in that which is worshipped besides Allah, his property and his blood are haram. Means we can't take his property and we can't kill him. Whoever says this. The meaning of this particular hadith, according to the scholars of Islam, is that the pronunciation of this particular statement, the shahada, la ilaha illallah, necessitates that a person reject and disbelieve in every type of worship other than Allah. For instance, making dua to dead people, or making dua to living people, for that matter. And this may seem strange, brothers and sisters, but I reiterate, as I mentioned in the classes before, that there are even Muslims who make dua to people who are dead, including the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see them standing at the Prophet's grave, the masjid in Medina, asking the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, things. This statement, La ilaha illallah, is the very foundation of Tawheed of Islam. It's the very foundation of Tawheed and Islam. And this statement, La ilaha illallah, is the complete and perfect program for life. As we mentioned before, we just don't want to become dogmatic with this belief, La ilaha illallah, or Tawheed. This statement, La ilaha illallah, is a complete and perfect program for our daily lives. And this is the way that we will be able to direct our lives for any facet of life. Any facet of life, this is the way that the Muslims or non-Muslims that they accept it, for whatever type of worship it may be, this is the way, this kalima, la ilaha illallah, this is the way we ascertain the instructions or the direction for worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever type of worship it may be. If we wanted to rephrase the meaning of La ilaha illallah, we could say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the meaning of it, is that no one deserves hope in, fear in, oaths, making vows, animal sacrifice, hajj, umrah, salat, zakat, seeking help, seeking succor, seeking aid, any of the other types of worship that we want to mention, dua, supplication, no one is worthy of these things except Allah. This should specifying these things individually should give us a better understanding what this means. No type of worship, brothers and sisters, is due to anyone except Allah. Whether it be vows, oaths, etc., animal sacrifice, whatever it may be. So we can also give it that type of meaning. Inshallah, we'd like to move to the meaning of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I think the meaning of La ilaha illallah is clear. Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the belief that he was sent from Allah. In other words, he didn't send himself. The Arabs didn't send him. Angels didn't send him. That he was sent by Allah himself. The meaning of Muhammad Rasulullah also means is that we have to absolutely believe in every single thing that he informed us of. We have to believe in it. We have to accept it. We have to obey his commandments. And we have to stay away from all those things that he prohibited. Along with this meaning, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, is that we should hate and despise everything that he ordered us not to do, and all those things that he hated and despised. We should also hate and despise them. It also means, brothers and sisters, that the worship which no one deserves except Allah cannot be done according to the whim or wish of any individual or any worshiper, except it be done in accordance with the wish of the one who is to be worshipped in the manner that the Prophet Muhammad worshipped him. Once again, the deep meaning, the real meaning, in the real sense of the word Muhammad Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, if we say we believe that, that means that Allah is the one to be worshipped. The one who wants to be worshipped is Allah. That we cannot worship him by our whim, or our fancy, or our own, by our caprice, or our own desires, or by our logic. We have to worship him the way the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us how to worship him. A very simple example. The Prophet came with 3 rak'ahs for Salatul Maghrib. We can't say now, I want to make 4 rak'ahs, because the Prophet came from Allah, showed us how to make Salatul Maghrib, 3 rak'ah, 3 units of prayer, and this is the way Allah wants us to worship him. So we can't, from our own desire, say, no, I want to make 2 rak'ah. We have to worship Allah according to the way the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam worshipped him and taught us how to worship him in all types of worship. And if we do not do that, then in fact, 2 things. We do not believe in La ilaha illallah in reality, and we do not believe in Muhammad Rasulullah. If we worship Allah any other way other than the Messenger of Allah taught us, the reality of that, that is indicative that we do not believe in La ilaha illallah, nor do we believe in Muhammad Rasulullah. And it is for that reason that Allah sent the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to direct us, to guide us, to show us how we should, to show us how we should worship Allah. And it won't be easy for anyone to do that, to worship Allah, that is, unless we do it by the way the Prophet did it, and unless, in the real sense of the word, unless we are well informed, unless we are well informed of the message of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that we implement it and work by it in the worship of his Lord, Allah, the only God. I repeat, brothers and sisters, whoever worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without the basis of that which Muhammad brought sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will be in the same category of whom Allah mentions in the Quran and Surah Ali Imran, the 3rd chapter, the 85th verse, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرِ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلُ مِنْهُ وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين. And whoever seeks a religion other than Islam, never will it be accepted of him. And in the hereafter, he will be in the ranks of the losers. Whoever attempts to worship Allah other than the way that the Prophet Muhammad brought it, alayhi salatu wasalam, they are violating the belief of Muhammad Rasulullah, number one. And number two, they will be those people who Allah says seeking another religion. And number three, it will not be accepted from him in the last day. And number four, they will be in the ranks of the losers. Even if those individuals think that they are becoming closer to Allah by doing something added to what the Prophet brought, or reducing, subtracting something from which the Prophet brought. For example, it is part of Islam to make dua to Allah and to make dhikr to Allah. And there's many verses in Quran and many authentic hadith which talk about making dua and making dhikr to Allah. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. All these different dua that are very important for Muslims to say. If you say this so many times, you will get this. If you say this at this time of day, you will get that. Authentic. But now, for someone now to come and do it in a manner other than what the Prophet or his companions did it, which we know is a religious innovation, which is what we call bid'ah, to add or subtract from something that wasn't introduced by the Prophet or his companions, is to worship Allah, even though the person is trying to get close to Allah, so they think. But the only way we can become close to Allah is to do it the way the closest one to Allah did it. For instance, those people who sit in a circle audibly or inaudibly and say Subhanallah, Subhanallah, with someone leading them. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah. Good words from the Sunnah. Allahu Akbar, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Those words are the best words that a human being can say. But to sit in a circle and say that in unison, you will not only not be coming closer to Allah, you may go to the fire. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, every innovation is astray, and every astray will lead you directly to the hellfire. And at one time in the time of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu wa radahu, may Allah be pleased with him, he walked into a masjid where there was a man sitting in the group, a circle of people, and there was two or three or four different groups in the masjid, and there was each person that was leading him was telling them, say, Subhanallah, and they would say, Subhanallah. Say Alhamdulillah, and they would say, Alhamdulillah. Say La ilaha illallah, and they would say, La ilaha illallah. Together, in a group. Say Allahu Akbar, and they would say, Allahu Akbar. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said to them, what are you doing? They said, we're only saying something that is good. He said, either you are doing something that is better than what the Messenger of Allah has done, or you are in clear, manifest error. They said, but we're only trying to do something that is good. He said, how many people have tried to do something good that led them to hell, that gave them severe punishment? And one narration says he never spoke to those people again, or never went to that masjid again. Another narration says that, which I don't think is authentic, he burned the masjid down, something like this. Nonetheless, the first part of it is authentic. He found them making tasbih, tahleel, tanheed, tahmeed, saying la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, the best thing that a Muslim can say. But the manner that they were doing it was contrary to the way the Prophet brought it. So this type of worship is not accepted. As the Prophet said, whoever introduces anything into this affair of ours, meaning Islam, will have it rejected. Meaning that the practitioner of it will be rejected. And Allah does not accept the tawbah, the repentance of one who does this innovation until he leaves off this innovation. He doesn't even accept the repentance. So in order for us to really implement the meaning Muhammadur Rasulullah, we have to worship Allah according to the way that the Prophet of Allah worshiped Allah and taught us how to worship Him. We'd like to now move on to a specific type of worship that is capsulized in the statement of Allah in the first chapter of the Quran, where He says, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. The meaning of this, which is translated, you do we worship and you do we seek for help. The meaning of this in brief, and one of the great scholars of Islam wrote a 2-volume book on this verse. 2 volumes on Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in. And part of the title of this book is just that, Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in. But in a nutshell, the meaning of this is that we specify our worship and our supplication and our seeking aid with only you, Allah. We specify our worship, or we specify by our worship, both definitions are correct, and our supplication and our seeking assistance with you and you alone, only Allah. This particular ayah or verse, which is repeated 10 times in the salah and outside of the salah, is the crux, I should say, the summary of the actual chapter that it is in, Surah Al-Fatiha. In fact, I will go as far as saying that this إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ is the crux of the Quran itself. It is a khulasa. It is a summary of, it is a summary, an abridgment. Nasta'een is the Quran itself. All of the Quran. This statement, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And the scholars of Arabic language, they point something out very, very poignant. Very, very important. For those who are studying Arabic, or those who have not studied Arabic, we've been studying English, we know we have something in Arabic and English called direct object. Direct object. Johnny hit the dog. Johnny is the subject, hit is the verb, dog is the direct object. Johnny hit the dog. Ahmed ate the apple. Akala Ahmadu tufahan. Or tufaha. Ahmed is the subject. Akala, ate, is the verb. At tufah, the apple, is the direct object. In this particular verse, the scholars of Arabic language point out something very interesting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Iyaka na'abudu wa iyaka nasta'in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the scholars of Arabic language, says that He placed the direct object, إِيَّاكَ, this way you can't do it. وَنَحْنُ نَسْتَعِينُكَ يَا رَبِّ. نَحْنُ نَسْتَعِينُكَ يَا رَبَّنَا وَإِيَّاكَ كَذَلِكَ. And we seek you for assistance. نَحْنُ نَعْبُدُكَ وَإِيَّاهُ كَذَلِكَ. You do we worship, Allah, and also this thing over here. This way you can't do it. وَنَحْنُ نَسْتَعِينُكَ يَا رَبِّ نَحْنُ نَسْتَعِينُكَ يَا رَبَّنَا وَإِيَّاهَا كَذَلِكَ And we seek you for assistance, O Allah, O our Lord. But also this thing too. And this is what the pagans used to do. This is what they used to do. And this is what some Muslims are doing. When the pagan Arab said, we only use these idols as a means to become closer to Allah. Only, this is the only reason why we do it. We don't worship them. We worship through them to get to Allah. We use them as an aid to get closer to Allah in our worship. The Christians do the same thing. No. We don't worship Jesus or the saints or the angels or Mary. No, we use them as intercessors. But the Muslims say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ This statement, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ also means that the worship that is mentioned in this particular verse is all general types of worship. Like salat, like dhabh, or animal sacrifice, bowing, making oath, and especially dua. Especially dua. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الدُعَاء هُوَ الْعِبَادَةِ الدُعَاء is worship. Supplication is worship. And this hadith is Hasan Sahih, collected by Al-Tirmidhi. So just as salah is a worship, it is not permissible to direct this worship to the messenger or to some wali of Allah, some friend of Allah, intimate friend of Allah, or to some angel, or any other form of creation. Nor to be more specific, nor to make dua to them. As I mentioned earlier, some people do to the Prophet himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in fact, that worship of dua should be only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah says in His Quran, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَدْعُ رَبِّي وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِهِ أَحَدًا I make dua, I pray to Allah only, and place with Him no partners. This can be found in Surah Al-Jinn, the surah called Al-Jinn, in the 20th verse. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the dua, da'wat al-dhunun, or da'wat al-dhinun, the dua of Yunus, the Prophet Yunus, alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was in the belly of the whale, he said, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. There is no God worthy of worship except you, when he was in the darkness of the belly of the whale. Glory be to you, and surely I am, O Allah, of the wrongdoers, those who transgress the bounds. And in fact, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in a hadith that is sahih, collected by Al-Hakim, and his hadith called Al-Mustadrak, and Al-Dhahabi, one of the scholars of hadith, agrees that this hadith is authentic, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَمْ يَدْعُ بِهَا رَجُلٌ مُسْلِمٌ فِي شَيْءٍ قَطْ إِلَّا اسْتَجَابَ اللَّهُ لَهُ That no person, Muslim, will have his dua rejected. If he says this, Allah will accept his dua. Whenever he makes dua to Allah and he says this along with his dua, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Whoever says this, there is no God worthy of worship except you, glorified be you, O Allah, and surely I am of those who are the transgressors. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and he never lies, whoever says this, Allah will answer his dua. We need to know these things. This is an important part of Tawheed. How do we get Allah to answer our dua? This is an important part of Tawheed. How should we worship Him? And how do we get Him to answer our prayers?
And we have a few minutes. No, we only have about 2 minutes. We'll close here, inshallah, by saying that this statement, إِيَّاكَ نَعَبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, if we check a hadith, Qudsi, a sacred hadith of our beloved Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, in explaining Al-Fatiha, he said that part of Al-Fatiha is for Allah and the other part is for the worshipper. And when we get to the part that says, إِيَّاكَ نَعَبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whatever the slave has asked for is for him, and this other part is for me. Whatever he asks for now, after إِيَّاكَ نَعَبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, it is for him. Which is what? اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ. Oh Allah, show us the straight way. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Allah says that whatever the worshipper now asks for, then the worshipper will get it. Guide us to the straight way, the way of those upon whom you have bestowed your favor. And what is the meaning of those whom you have bestowed your favor? What is the meaning of that? The explanation or the tafsir of that. أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ, those whom favor has been sent upon. The explanation of that verse in Surah Al-Fatiha is chapter 4, verse 69. These are the people whom Allah has bestowed His favor. Allah says, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Whoever obeys Allah and the Messenger, they are with those whom Allah, أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ, has shown His favor of the prophets and the saints, and the martyrs, and the righteous. The best of company are they. These are the people who Allah's Prophet has explained to us when he was asked, who are those an'amtu alayhi? Who are those who Allah has bestowed His favor? They are an-nabiyyin, wa-siddiqin, wa-shuhada, wa-salihin. These are the people who every day in our salat, we ask Allah to make us with them. حَسُنَا أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. And that is the best of company. No better company in Jannah can you be with than the prophets and the righteous people and the martyrs. No better crowd. So we'll end it here, inshallah. I think that we won't be able to do the questions and answers until after the salat because we've exhausted the time. And incidentally, brothers and sisters, because we missed a day yesterday for the fiqh, we will confer on what day we're going to make it up. Inshallah, I told Scott that it is a duty on me to make this day up, not to just let it go by. So we'll decide, all of us, inshallah, not just the administration, but everyone who is involved, on what would be the best day for everyone to come, and we will make that day up, inshallah. سبحانك وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت وأستغفرك وأتوب إليك. أستغفر.